to get deeper, another foot of snow could fall in the region by the end of the week. The Boston area already received more than 70 inches of snow in the past 30 days. Three Muslim students are dead, and a 46-year-old man is charged with murder in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Last time coming 29 years ago against the Boston Red Sox in 1986. The National League champions send 13-game winner Matt Harvey to the mound in Game 1 tonight at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, while the two-time defending American League champs will start veteran 13-game winner Edinson Volquez. It is the first World Series to feature two expansion teams. In Kansas City, I'm Chris Bales.
The American League champion Kansas City Royals are hosting, and the first pitch is at 8:07 Eastern Time tonight. Walmart wants to get into the drone delivery business. The retailer applied to the FAA yesterday for an exemption from current drone regulations. Walmart is looking for permission to test out drone delivery to customers' homes and in its store parking lots. This is USA Headline News.
The more you learn about your insurance coverage, the more gaps you might find. Like how you thought you were covered for this.
Honey, someone stole my wedding ring!
When you're really only covered for this.
Honey, someone stole my Dakota ring!
Oh well, it was weird anyway.
Or how with renter's insurance, you're covered for
valuables, electronics, bikes, karaoke machines, waffle makers, superhero pajamas.
And without it, you're covered for talk to a farmer's agent about what gaps might be hiding in your insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Tesla is hoping to crack the electric car market in China, the world's largest car market. With more, here's Joe McConnell.
China's offering incentives to companies that produce lower-emission vehicles because pollution is so horrendous, but China doesn't allow foreign car makers to make and sell cars there, so Tesla is looking for a Chinese partner. CEO Elon Musk says making the cars in China for sale in China, instead of in California where most are made now, would make them a lot more affordable for Chinese consumers. He thinks that could happen in 2 or 3 years. I'm Joe McConnell.
Outdoor sporting goods company REI will go dark on Black Friday. The company says its 143 stores will be closed on the biggest shopping day of the year. REI's CEO Jerry Stritzke says the day after Thanksgiving is the perfect time for people to remember that, quote, being outside makes our lives better. He also encourages the company's loyal customers to skip the sales and instead spend the day outdoors. People can even take to social media to talk about their Black Friday plans with the hashtag #OptOutside. It's against the law, but age discrimination is widespread in the U.S. job market. That's the finding of a new study out this week. The National Bureau of Economic Research.
Well, good afternoon. It's about 2 minutes after four, and the program It's the Law. I'm finally back after about 3 weeks of vacation. I'm Pat Smits, your family lawyer, and I talk about legal issues, and I will do so today. But first of all, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about the weather, if in fact I can pull it up. The latest weather today actually has been a beautiful fall day. Whether you've had a chance to go out or not, although it's a bit windy and a little bit, as I said, windy, breezy, but it's been sunny, although it does say this afternoon, I can't believe this weather, it said there's a 90% chance of rain this afternoon. Frankly, I don't know if I have the right weather up. No, I guess this is weather from yesterday, because it said Friday, and today is Friday, partly sunny, and then mostly sunny and breezy. Well, it's been sunny and breezy. Tonight, it's supposed to be mostly clear, then into Saturday, mostly sunny, and then slight chance of showers later. I will certainly bring you try to get a more up-to-date weather and bring that to you later. So let's talk about some of our sponsors, and then we'll talk about what's happening in legal news.
Spring Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hi, it's Friday. Can't believe it's the end of the month. In fact, watch out, especially on Monday, for all those little folks who are going to be out there going trick or treat. And just be careful this weekend, because there's going to be a lot of people in dark clothes running around, and especially if it's dark at night. And we want to be safe. And, of course, the kids, you know, this is a great time of year for them. And I was talking to somebody today, and the kids in the Hopewell School all wore black and orange. And so everybody had to go out and figure out how to dress their children in black and orange. But the kids really enjoy these things. And I think sometimes as adults we, you know, forget how much fun it is or was or still should be for us. But in any event, what's happening in some of the legal news? I'm Pat Smiths. I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County. I limit my practice to family law matters, domestic violence, custody, divorce, etc. So I like to bring my audience, kind of give you some information as to what's happening in legal news. So I will do that. And before I talk about any of the recent cases, I'll just talk about some of the hot topics as far as legal news, which obviously for a lot of people are not very hot. But in any event, one of the things that's happening now is the New Jersey Supreme Court is grappling with how to handle the impact of two U.S. Supreme Court rulings that bar juveniles from being sentenced to life prison terms with no realistic chance of parole. So that, you know, this is a problem because there are more and more juvenile offenders, serious crimes committed by juvenile offenders, and that has always been a difficulty in our legal system. Once someone is 18, you know, then they can be sentenced to, you know, life in prison without parole. But if someone is 6 months younger, you know, how do you handle that situation? So whatever your views on it, the court is certainly grappling with it. Now, there's been recently a Title IX suit against Ramapo College over sexual assault and counterbalancing due process suits by alleged perpetrators. So a Title IX suit by a student who was sexually assaulted claims Ramapo College and a fraternity showed deliberate indifference that created a hostile educational environment. So, unfortunately, I happened to attend a domestic violence, especially sexual predator domestic violence meeting or I guess should say conference and educational meeting a few months ago, and I was appalled at the number of sexual assaults that occur on college campuses. And the statistic, and they say it's a conservative statistic, is that 20% of the women on college campuses are sexually assaulted. And, you know, that is still probably underreported. And also there are a number of men who are sexually assaulted on college campuses. So this is something that there's a lot of statistics at some of the colleges, including some of the best colleges or the most prestigious colleges, have really, they don't want that information out there. You can imagine when they're looking for the best students around the country and their tuitions may be upward of $50,000 a year, they don't want to be known as a campus where co-eds or students are possibly going to be assaulted. But in any event, that's something that will be followed. Unfortunately, a young scholar, another news, anticipating meeting U.S. Supreme Court justice for the first time, a young Truman Foundation scholar in 1999 said that Justice Clarence Thomas grabbed and squeezed her on the buttocks several times at a dinner party. Of course, this, as we know, is not the first time that there have been accusations against Justice Thomas. And most of us who sat through his confirmation hearings remember it very clearly. Next thing in the news is that although it's not often that courts have to grapple with a claimant's inclusion in a protected class, here the idea that the aggrieved individual having an immutable characteristic is one of the hallmarks of Title VII since Civil Rights Act was enacted in 1964. I don't know much about this, but it apparently an employee need not be pregnant to pursue a pregnancy discrimination claim. So I hope to read more about that. It seems obviously a little unusual, but that's what the news headline had to say. New Jersey lawmaker is supporting legislation that would, in most cases, bar juries from awarding punitive damages and non-economic damages against public entities and public employees. So that legislation is will be pending. Well, I'm not going to talk about politics, and the next headline had to do with Donald Trump, although not the campaign, but let's pass over that. Now, there was the New York Attorney General on this past Tuesday settled the false advertising suits that he filed last year against fantasy sports game operators, the sports fan operators FanDuel and DraftKings. So that was a suit based on false advertising. Since more people are telecommuting than ever, according to a 2005 Gallup poll, 37% of U.S. workers have telecommuted, four times greater than the 9% found in 1995. Well, anybody who's interested in working from home should certainly look at your zoning, because most of the zoning, I respectfully submit, is woefully outdated, and people have no understanding and have not looked at these zoning laws for, you know, I would like to say centuries, but certainly not up to date with what's happening, and it can be very discriminatory against certain people in certain professions who want to, have a home office. Now, there's a legal malpractice trial, and I don't know what's happened. It was set to begin on October 24th against a large law firm in New Jersey. However, that was postponed after a judge denied the firm's motion for summary judgment, alleging that it advised one party during the formation of a strategic alliance and then represented the other side in allegedly improperly terminating that alliance. But in any event, the trial has been postponed and who knows, maybe settled. Now, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, I have been on vacation, sorry people. The Third Circuit has reversed a district court judge's denial of a motion to compel arbitration in a contract dispute between an insurance company and a trash hauler. So there was obviously an arbitration clause in the contract, and the district court denied the motion to compel arbitration, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for our circuit, the Third Circuit, reversed that denial. Now, probably none of you remember this. I don't. But when David Sanford earned a record $250 million jury verdict for sex discrimination and gender pay action in 2010, he made more than history. He outlined a business plan for a practice many lawyers say can be difficult business, and that is taking on the gender pay gap. So absolutely, you know, that we're recently seeing that women partners in law firms make 44% of what male partners earn. So we're not going to go into that, but there is certainly, when a female lawyer files a public complaint against her firm alleging gender discrimination, the firm's response tends to fit a standard model, which is a denial of any discrimination and a confirmation of the firm's commitment to advancing women lawyers. And usually an attack against the woman who filed it. And frankly, that's why many, many women who have faced discrimination and sexual harassment certainly don't report it or don't file suit because they're more concerned about what can happen to them in their career. Now, AT&T has proposed an $85 billion purchase of Time Warner, Inc., and apparently that will face intense regulatory scrutiny from antitrust enforcers, according to members of Congress and consumer advocates. But even in an aggressive antitrust climate, the deal could still find a path to approval. So that would certainly be big, AT&T purchasing Time Warner, Inc. Now, there was a, how would you like to win $9.6 million gambling and then be forced to repay it? Well, that's what's happened, at least as far as the ruling thus far, and that was high-stakes gambler Phil Ivey, regarded by many as one of the best professional poker players in the world, may be forced to repay an Atlantic City casino more than $9 million that he won playing baccarat by using manufacturer defects in playing card decks to help him win. So it interesting, to say the least. So apparently the basis is that the allegations is that there were manufacturer defects in playing card decks, which helped him win. So that'll certainly be an interesting case. There's been a lot about Bridgegate in the news. In fact, I was in Wisconsin, and there was even news on television out there, and in Michigan and in Canada with respect to the trial that is going on over Bridgegate. And defendant Bridget Ann Kelly testified that her colleagues in the Christie administration feigned ignorance when the media began raising questions about the George Washington Bridge lane realignments. She and others have also testified that Governor Christie knew about this and, you know, was not, you know, did not learn about it much later, as he has alleged. Now, Democrats who control the New Jersey legislature have passed equal pay legislation three times since Governor Christie took office in 2010, but he has rebuffed the bills each time one has reached his desk. So, you know, I guess some people are waiting to see what might happen if there's a change in the administration. And what happens, of course, is when the legislature passes legislation through both houses, the bills are provided to the, or the bill, they compromise often, and there's a legislation that the governor can either sign or veto, or sometimes what we call pocket veto. And unless the it goes back to the legislature with a much higher percentage of the vote, it just dies. And that's what's happened three times to the equal pay legislation. And since it's been nearly 20 years since the Paycheck Fairness Act, which was federal, which was meant to remedy pay inequality between men and women in the workforce, that was first introduced by Congress, and again, in the on the federal level, this legislation has been reintroduced and failed to pass over and over. So, I guess people don't want to pay women as much as men. So I won't go into that. I will say, however, that this is not consistent across the board, because many, many years ago, and I really mean many, many, I was working for the state of Illinois in mental health capacity. And I had a master's degree. And what happened in Illinois is they did, and I guess this was just at the state level, but they looked at the work done by people in various professions. And I remember that as a result, unfortunately, it was right before I moved here, so I never had the advantage of it, but they reclassified jobs based on a number of things. And women's jobs traditionally had jobs that were traditionally women's jobs were paid much less than jobs that were traditionally men's jobs. And certain other jobs, such as my job in mental health, were paid less. And what happened in that situation after the study, I was going to get a tremendous raise, because what they wanted to do was, you know, look at the job responsibilities and use pay rates that reflected the job responsibilities, etc. Because what they found in Illinois, and this is not to denigrate people like janitors, but, you know, janitors were being paid much more than someone who might be a teacher's aide or an assistant teacher or even a teacher. So that was changed, and I think it was it looked to be a very fair system that they were trying to implement. And that's what people are looking for now. So in any event, let me give you some information from some of our sponsors, and then I'll be back to finish the program.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, we're back with more news. And actually, I also wanted to remind you and promote the Chamber Business Expo, Business and Home Expo, and Restaurant Showcase. This year it's going to be on Thursday, November 10th, and it will be at the Hunterdon Central Regional High School Fieldhouse Commons between 2 and 7 p.m. The Restaurant Showcase will start at 5 and from 5 until 7 p.m. Also tell you about some of the presenting sponsors because we always appreciate the presenting sponsors. And this year, the I guess our big sponsor, I don't know what they call that exactly, but is PNC Bank, also Hunterdon Healthcare, HealthQuest, Flemington Car and Truck Country, ShopRite. And, you know, ShopRite always is great. I mean, they just donate to everything. The Y, Fulton Bank of New Jersey, our good friends at Domelina's, one of the best barbers, probably the best barber around, great stylist, and local here in Flemington. Financial resources, my friends, including Diane. In fact, I first got involved in the chamber because of one of the people at Financial Resources, and I had attended the expo as a favor to someone. Compass, Rab Coins, and if you have never met Randy and his wonderful wife, you have to stop into Rab Coins, whether you want to buy gold, sell gold, or just look at some of the nice jewelry that they often have. Nita's Angels, great, Tom Bay and his staff at Anita's Angels really do a wonderful job for seniors. Many seniors are able to stay in the community because of the care, in-house care that they provide or other in-house services. I guess the next folks I don't really want to have to see personally for a while, but again, good people in the community, Wright and Ford, the funeral directors here, and and NJ Advanced Media also, and there's also another, I guess, Compass Self, well, I don't know, I can't read it, at least on mine. But that, again, it's Thursday, November 10th, and from 2 to 7. For more information, I think there may be one or two tables left if any business person is interested. You will really see a lot of people in the community, and it really opens your business. I know that I started doing business personally with Financial Resources after meeting them at at the expo, HealthQuest, most people know HealthQuest. Many people, certainly are, members of HealthQuest and all of the other sponsors. But there are many other people who are not on this list. In other words, these are just the presenting sponsor and other certain sponsors. But there are many more people who will be there. Buy Hunterdon, and it really is important to buy Hunterdon. But in any event, if you want more information, call 908-782-7115. Now, back to the law and the legal news that I said I would go through headlines today. Well, I have to tell you, there's always what I would consider stupid lawsuits and I have one today. Apparently, a customer whose account number was printed on a store receipt filed suit claiming that he or she was harmed and wanted to file a federal suit based on Article 3 standing. A federal judge in Newark has ruled that absent evidence of fraudulent credit card use, that customer, just because the account number was printed on the store receipt, has not suffered sufficient harm to have standing under the federal statute. So, I suppose if the store was handing out someone's receipt to other people, on the other hand, I guess everyone is expected, if you have a receipt, you know, don't throw it in the garbage so someone else can pick it up and get your account number. Good news, the Senate has confirmed 6 new Superior Court judges, and we are getting 2 of the judges in our vicinage. In fact, they're both Hunterdon County appointments, although one of the judges will be sitting in family in Somerville. The other judge, and most people know Bob Ballard. He's been here in the county for many, many years. He's been a prosecutor in municipal courts and someone who's, you know, I guess we should say has been around. And he is the second judge here who's been nominated and appointed. He will be sworn in this next week and will be sitting criminal, and I believe he's going to be sitting here in Hunterdon County. So that's really good news. What people don't understand is when we don't have enough judges, it really creates huge problems. And it does. Everything gets backed up. The judges are overworked, and it means that people's legal fees go up because, you know, the longer it takes, the more expensive it is. So in any event, this is really good news. And I'm looking forward. Well, I certainly won't be appearing before Bob Ballard, I hope, because, frankly, I don't handle criminal matters. And I certainly don't want to appear before him personally. So I am pleased, though, that we'll have more judges handling family matters. So what else? Wells Fargo has been hit with a proposed class action in Camden Federal Court on behalf of customers who had additional accounts opened in their name without authorization. I mean, you know, again, I think this is not what I would call a stupid suit, but stupid on the part of whoever was pushing people in Wells Fargo to open accounts in people's names without any kind of authorization. And I guess there was some kind of a reward system based on that. Now, whether there's any real loss to someone just because an account was opened in their name, but there could be, because what happens if you ever look at your credit report, it will list the accounts. And for example, if it's credit cards and you have a number of credit cards, you can be denied a credit card because they think you have too many, or your amount of credit, available credit, is too high. So it can actually, in this case, have an impact. And if you have a lot of accounts with just minimal balances, that could trigger some kind of a concern on behalf of someone looking at your credit reports. So that one is not what I consider a stupid suit. It's something that was stupid for the employees of Wells Fargo to open these kinds of accounts. And we'll see if there was any actual harm done. Now, apparently, there was a New Jersey trial judge who had a brief ex parte exchange with seemingly deadlocked jurors. So in other words, the judge, who was probably frustrated, you know, had a short exchange where he talked to jurors who had not made a decision. And so that was followed almost immediately by a unanimous no-cause verdict. And however, what that meant, it was enough to give a personal injury plaintiff another shot at a recovery. So apparently, you know, judges are very limited in what they can do. I'm certain that the trial judge did this in, you know, the best intentions to try to get the judge, or excuse me, to try to get the jury to move on a verdict. But that was enough to, the fact that there was a no cause was enough to give the personal injury plaintiff another shot at recovery. And I think the same thing would have happened if there had been a decision on behalf of the plaintiff. It would have given the defense the same opportunity. So, well, now there's, and this is good, there's a renewed effort to tackle crimes victimizing children. In this case, a New Jersey attorney was arrested and charged with trafficking in child pornography. And apparently this is, state's attorneys are saying that they're going to renew their focus on these child, the attorney general said they're going to renew their efforts to tackle crimes victimizing children. And you know, that's, of course, it will make headlines that it was an attorney who was arrested. So, let's see what else we have. Well, there's a decision that advances the ball on mass communication law. A New Jersey appellate court has held that minor changes to an allegedly libelous web posting don't amount to republication for purposes of a defamation claim. So, minor changes, republishing, not considered to amount to republication. excuse me. Now, the court... a federal judge in New Jersey has approved a $33 million settlement in a class action against Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Jersey, lodged by chiropractors claiming that the company improperly bundled payments to claimants. I'm sorry, here I go again. Improperly bundled payments to claimants. And that deal would include an $11 million award to class counsel. Now, you know, there are some class action suits that I think are ridiculous and filed just for the attorneys to, in fact, get legal fees, and that's all that comes out of most of them. But these are very, very difficult cases, and in this case, a third of the settlement that went to the attorneys, certainly on the face of it, seems reasonable. Now, there was a federal judge in New Jersey who's thrown out a case over the estate of a Taiwanese billionaire, saying that the suit is predicated mostly on issues arising under the laws of Taiwan and therefore should proceed there. So what this means is somebody was not just judge shopping, but jurisdiction shopping. And that's not unusual, that there are people, cases that people try to bring in, for example, in New Jersey, especially in, depending on where in New Jersey, if they think they're good at favorable rulings under our laws. And in this case, obviously someone thought that they would have a suit in the United States and in federal court in the United States, but not... but probably didn't think they had a winning argument in Taiwan. So, according to U.S. Court of Appeals, again, our Third Circuit, which is New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Franchising is an economic bedrock of the American economy, and recent class action labor law decisions are eroding that bedrock. And therefore, this is in fact an opinion shared by many franchise professionals and a growing number of jurists. So I'm not sure what the class action labor law decisions are, but that's certainly something for anyone who's interested to follow up on. Not my area of law, and in fact, there are very few people that know much about franchises. The only thing I would say, and I know I have listeners who are in business, anyone who's contemplating getting into franchise really needs to have someone look at it and, you know, dissect it and make sure that you're going to be protected. Like many other contracts, it's, you feel like you're just signing whatever is put in front of you. It's kind of like the real estate when you're getting a mortgage. I mean, it's page after page after page, and it's just kind of sign here, sign here, sign here. But in something this important, you should at least have an attorney who knows something about franchise law. And in fact, I can say this because I know nothing about franchise law, but in fact, I have referred people to other attorneys who I know have expertise in this area. So anyone can call me. Again, the lead, again, more news about Bridgegate. The lead prosecutor in the Bridgegate criminal trial attempted to cast doubt on the reliability of defendant William Barone's William Barone Jr.'s testimony by cross-examining him on his decision to ignore calls for assistance from the mayor of Fort Lee, whose streets were clogged in the wake of the George Washington Bridge access lane closures. You know, this, just so people, we sometimes, you know, kind of poo-poo, this is not anything that should concern us. But I will say that these kinds of things that come out of New Jersey are what, you know, again, people around the country have a very negative view of New Jersey, negative view of New Jersey politics, think everything here is corrupt. And what the tragedy here is that, you know, not only did it tie up people for hours and hours and hours, but you know, it could have resulted in emergency vehicles not getting dying patients to hospitals. It could have been even more tragic than just a lot of people losing a lot of time and a lot of frustration over needless closures of lanes. But in any event, you know, why? Well, it gets into too much politics, I guess, to go into things like that. There's an attorney accused of copying an NFL concussion complaint in a suit against WWE. So apparently there's, you know, big brouhaha about that. Let's look at why people settle. Well, the primary goal of any settlement is to resolve the party's dispute. Now, often, however, settlement is achieved only after court decisions that are adverse to one or both litigants. In these instances, the parties may wish to achieve something more, which is vacating the judgments, erasing opinions from the office, from the official reporters, and eliminating whatever binding or preclusive event these rulings may have in future disputes. So, you know, that's a reason why certain people are settling cases so they can vacate certain other decisions or judgments. And maybe we need to, you know, take a look at that and realize that that is another goal of settlement. It's just not to resolve the disputes. Okay, well, there's another thing about Donald Trump, which we won't worry about. So instead of that, why don't we talk about a few of our sponsors, and then I'll come back and see what else might be in interesting, or at least in the headlines for people who are legal wonks.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, we're back with the last few minutes of the program. It's the Law. I'm your host, Pat Snitz. And I wanted to say that there are a few homeowners, more than a few homeowners, certainly a group of local residents in Princeton are very pleased, may actually also be in Princeton Township, because Princeton University has agreed to pay $18.2 million over the next several years to settle claims brought by a group of local residents that the university was improperly claiming property tax exemptions on facilities that actually are used as money-making enterprises. So, big win for the residents in Princeton Borough, well, wherever these properties are located. And, of course, because Princeton and, of course, state facilities, you know, they're off the tax roll. So this is a big hit for many communities. I mean, certainly, you know, you have Ewing with the College of New Jersey. There are other counties and townships that have many facilities that, you know, large acreages that are not on the tax rolls because they're exempt from property taxes. And so this suit and the local taxpayers, this local group of residents said, wait a minute, you know, these are facilities that Princeton University is using to make money. It's not, you know, these are not classrooms, not even dormitories, but they're money-making facilities. At least I don't think they went after the dormitories. But in any event, that was settled, and that's going to be a significant amount of money into the local coffers. Well, there's a lot of discussion about disparity in pay among attorneys, among women attorneys. The argument is a systemic problem. The argument on the other side is that the reason there's such a discrepancy between women and men partners is the fact that the women are not generating the same business as men. And certainly income generation is one of the factors that firms look at. In other words, it's an important factor as to how much income is being generated by one of the partners, and very often there are partners who are, you know, really the people bringing in most of the, you know, the money into the firm, and then perhaps other attorneys are also doing the work on the case or cases. But certainly, income generation has always traditionally been a big factor in law firms. So this, of course, is still a because there's such a discrimination, or not, no, I'm sorry, not discrimination. There's such a disparity between men and women partners in law firms that it is certainly something that's being looked at. And, you know, for all the reasons that we won't go into, that I think most attorneys would say that it's easier for not all men, but certainly some men to be the big generators of income. I certainly worked at the firm, large firm. We had many clients, but I remember one large client, and frankly, the reason that we had this corporation, it was an insurance company, as a client, had to do with family relationship. And, you know, that's traditionally family relationship, friends, traditionally how those things have worked. And worked better for men traditionally than for women. Now, it interesting, the state court judge ruled a couple weeks ago that there was sufficient probable cause for a citizen to proceed with his complaint against and accusing Governor Christie of official misconduct for failing to stop the Bridgegate lane disclosures. So we'll see where that goes. I have been away, so I haven't heard anything more about that suit. Now, there's there was a group of residents affected by last year's Avalon at Edgewater Inferno, but they may not intervene to oppose a settlement in a proposed class action against the operator of the apartment complex. And this was ruled by a federal judge that these residents are not able to intervene to oppose that settlement. Now, there were lawyers a couple weeks ago, again, argued before the New Jersey Supreme Court whether an appeals court made an error in overturning a $25 million verdict against a pharmaceutical company because the plaintiff violated the statute of limitations in the state where he lives. So this is a procedural thing. In other words, the suit was filed in New Jersey. Plaintiff did not file suit prior to the statute of limitations expiring in the state where he lived. The argument is that now why this is coming up now in front of the Supreme Court, you know, I'm not sure what the rulings were on that issue below, but that would be, an interesting as to how that was ruled on before, because it would not be something that could be brought up for the first time in front of the Supreme Court. Again, there's another suit threatened by presidential candidate Donald Trump. We're not going to talk about that because I'm not talking politics. There's just more news about the fact that male partners make 44% more than their female counterparts, which was a finding of a recently released study of big firm partners. And women partners make on average about 69 cents for every dollar made by male partners. So, again, is it that male partners are older, generate more business, are in more lucrative areas of law? I mean, there are lots of things that go into something like this. And I'm always hesitant to, you know, just throw out this kind of a statistic. What I would say is I've now been practicing for 38 years. Can't believe it. But the number of women who've come out of law school now in that period of time have been significant. There have certainly been many more inroads into partnerships by women. And, so I think it does bear looking into. There are certain areas of the law that tend to be more lucrative. I'm certainly aware that women partners may be in some of the areas where they're not as lucrative. I think you can't make generalizations, however. So, apparently, Bank of America can't rely on the U.S. Supreme Court's recent decision in Spokeo v. Robbins to get out of a class action over its telemarketing calls. At least that's what a judge has ruled, a federal judge has ruled. And again, I mean, it seems like every day there's this in the news. Every day there's this how much more male partners make than female partners. And I guess some people would say, well, that's fine. But, it's not fine. But there are many reasons for it, obviously. Well, there was an 11th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals decision that said older job applicants can't bring discrimination suits based on a theory of disparate impact. I don't know anything about it, but it certainly restricts age bias protections. And, that was the 11th Circuit. It's not another circuit. This is the kind of case that if there's a decision in a different circuit at odds with this, it should go up to the Supreme Court. But, of course, now we don't have a full complement of justices on the Supreme Court, which is truly outrageous. And, we need to fill that ninth position. And, like it or not, vote the nominee up or down, but don't sit on your hands. And, of course, we know that's what's happening and has been happening for some months. Now, New Jersey's two-year-old amendments, and this is of interest to me, of course, and many people who talk about what happens with alimony, the two-year-old amendments to the alimony statute allow reduced payments based on changed circumstances. At least one judge, a trial judge, has ruled